Welcome to Straight Talk on Health with Dr. Vincent Medici. Knowing that ultimately it's God who does the healing, Dr. Medici acts as the maestro, orchestrating a person's health through right timing and right therapies, using traditional, natural, alternative, and spiritual practices. Dr. Medici says it's time for people to wake up to their innate potential to heal and to be given a doctor who can orchestrate that healing. Dr. Medici is currently working toward his PhD in biochemistry at Long Beach University, with additional study in acupuncture, kinesiology, and quantum medicine. He's the curriculum director of the Santa Monica Shiatsu School. And now, here's Dr. Medici.
Good morning. I am Dr. Vincent Medici. Let's go. Okay, a subject everybody's discoursed with one way or the other, whether you're for them, against them, drugs. Drugs to induce high states of mind. Drugs to run away from your problems. Drugs that people claim, like cannabis, marijuana, have health benefits, or is that just a lot of baloney? We're going to get into it today. As always, you're going to have to learn a little bit of the fundamentals. And I think in a world ridden with Prozac, Wellbutrin, Zoloft, all sorts of recreational drugs, I think we need to understand a little bit about what drugs really do as it relates to the way the brain was structured. In other words, the neuroanatomy. We're going to go into the neuroanatomy today. As always, the anatomy of the brain, better seen with pictures. If you don't have the computer, get a computer and learn it. But I'll compensate. I'll try to describe it in the theater of your mind. But for those of you, get on the website, straighttalk.cc. That's two T's, .cc. And get onto the radio literature section and get into today's show. Just follow the prompts. You're going to see approximately, what is that, 20 pictures. I've got 20 wonderful pictures of the anatomy of the brain, of the neurons, the brain cells. The cell, of course, is the basic unit of organization in each organ, the cell. The brain's got gazillion cells. Those cells are called neurons. Nerve cells are called neurons. We're going to string these neurons together into one big, long electrical circuit, and we're going to explain what drugs do. You take drugs because you want to feel good. You want the God experience. You can't get the God experience without the drug. That's not the natural state of our chemistry. The natural state of our chemistry, and I'm going to get into this today, is to find God within the chemistry of the body, the God-given chemistry of the body. But if you don't understand that, if you don't know how to access that, and times are rough, you're going to go to drugs, and that's why lots of people do. It's not so much things are bad, although sometimes it's understandable in a sense. But I'm going to maintain it's not so much things are bad. Americans aren't turning to drugs and haven't turned to drugs over the last 50 years, not because things were so bad, but because they have high expectations of life and they don't understand their bodies. That's the point here, that there are nerve mechanisms. There are electrical circuits in the body, and if you learn to use those electrical circuits, the God-given electrical circuits, you're going to find God through your body, your being. That high will inhabit you as a natural course of your human physiology. Now, without that understanding, you're going to go to drugs. So let's start with some of the basics. If you're online and on the website, picture number one. It's showing you your God-given brain. So inside your skull, as we all know, is the brain. The brain, and we all know what the brain looks like, is connected to the spinal cord. So brain and spinal cord together, it kind of looks like a tadpole. Looks like a big blob of jelly with a tail. That entire complex, that brain and that spinal cord, again, that's picture number one if you're online, is covered in a thick, tough sheet of connective tissue called dura mater. And if you're not new to the show, you've heard me say that a million times. Well, I'm going to keep saying it until you really inhabit it. That dura mater, in Latin, dura mater means tough mother. And when you dissect it out in the labs, in chiropractic school, I kind of ran the anatomy lab. I had the keys to it. And I had the pleasure of dissecting over 100 bodies, head to toe. I could sit in there with the scalpel until 2 o'clock in the morning by myself. Nobody wanted to do it. It was the great thing about chiropractic school. You really learn the anatomy if you chose to do so. Well, doing this, I cut through so many brains, and there's this really, really tough connective sheath around the brain called the dura mater. Moms, when you worry that your kids could get meningitis, viral or bacterial meningitis, that meningitis is an inflammation of this very tough tissue. So we're all familiar with the dura mater one way or the other. So there is this tough connective tissue sheath surrounding the brain and the spinal cord. Between the dural sheath and the brain and spinal cord is an empty space. That empty space is filled with fluid. That fluid is called the milk of the brain, cerebrospinal fluid, a clear, normally sterile fluid. When you get a spinal tap, because they want to find out if the infection's in your brain, they take a syringe, a needle, and they pluck it right through your skin, your muscles. They go through the dural tissue. They don't hit the spinal cord, hopefully, but they go through the dural tissue and they extract some of that white, clear liquid. And then they analyze it in the lab to see that if it's got microbes in it or viruses or if it's free of them. Now, this fluid is normally sterile. But if you're infected in the brain, that infection's going to be in that fluid. So we kind of know a spinal tap. Of course, what's the side effect of the spinal tap? Horrid headaches. Why? Well, the brain is floating in this water. The brain floats. The floating brain. You don't think of that. That's not a normal way we think of the brain. It's just inside our skull. We understand it's protected by our hard, bony skull. And those bones, of course, as you know from my other shows, those bones come apart. Those bones vibrate, the cranial bones. So your skull is encased in a bunch of vibrating cranial bones. When you breathe correctly up through the nose and you relax your body, you contact your parasympathetic nervous system through proper breath, those bones vibrate a little different, and that vibration extends itself to the brain. That's a big part of what we call the normal breath rhythm. Not commonly understood. Allopathy doesn't recognize this. Cranial osteopathy does. The heart of what the medical profession calls osteopathy and honors completely at Kaiser, at your local hospital. Those osteopaths, they were founded at the turn of the century, the last century, by Andrew Still. And Dr. Still, an osteopath, very, very sympathetic to the statements I'm making today on the show. So understand this isn't so left field, that your breath will induce a flow of cerebral spinal fluid is an osteopathic principle, or originally it was. If you read the works of Andrew Still, of Fulford, these guys understood it all. That died out by the, I guess, 1960s and 70s and 80s, and definitely today it's dead in osteopathy. But not really. John Upledger, Hugh Milne, these are cranial osteopaths. They understand what I'm talking about prolifically and practice it and open institutes and schools to teach this. So this isn't so left field. The point is for you right now today to focus in on why we do drugs. We do drugs because we don't understand what I'm saying. But you do. So pat yourself on the back for that. You're on the cutting edge of the culture, which you face and hit every day when you kind of spread the information, when you talk to your friends and they look at you like your cuckoo clock. Well, you're just ahead of your time. So this brain is floating in cerebral spinal fluid. That cerebral spinal fluid is called the milk of the brain. The cerebral spinal fluid is the lymph of the brain. The brain has no lymph. There's no lymphatic system in the brain. The cerebral spinal fluid is the lymphatic system of the brain. Now, if you're on the website, straighttalk.cc, you're looking at picture number one. and you're following the arrows. Those arrows, guys, are that's the flow of the cerebral spinal fluid. It flows inside, around, upside the brain. Wonderful. Now, that cerebrospinal fluid is produced. This is beyond divine. That's not an oxymoron. This is so interesting. The cerebral spinal fluid is produced in the ventricular system of the brain. So the heart has two ventricles, the heart, a left and right ventricle, and they pump. The brain has ventricles. It has four ventricles, in a sense. Those ventricles pump. Do you know what they pump? They pump cerebrospinal fluid. There is a place in the brain. If you're looking at picture number one with the red center there, that red center are arteries. Arteries. The blood supply to the brain goes into a place in the brain called the choroid plexus. So the blood to your brain from your heart pumped up through your carotid arteries into your brain produces from the blood, from red blood. Red blood becomes a white, clear fluid called cerebrospinal fluid. This transition occurs in the choroid plexus of the brain. And once the brain makes this white, transparent fluid, the ventricular system pumps that fluid through your brain, down your spinal cord, up your spinal cord, and into every intercellular space of the brain. There's a fluidity, a flow. Now, these ventricles are pumping the cerebral spinal fluid, which the arterial system in the choroid plexus is making, and your breath through your nostrils, not your mouth, but through your nostrils. Check my show out on the power of breath. I really get into this, right? Breath is life. You holistic guys out there, yoga, Pilates, Qigong, Tai Chi, Kung Fu, the Alexander technique, Rolfing. Everybody in natural medicine knows that breath is life. It's life because if breath is patent, there's another word you always hear me use, patent. That means if it's functioning optimally, if breath is understood the way Pavarotti and Caruso understood breath, the way Whitney Houston would have to understand breath, any great theater person, any great singer, operatic, understand breath. So do the people in the healing arts understand breath. And breath, if it's patent, if it's proper, helps pump the cerebral spinal fluid that the ventricles of the brain are pumping. But the ventricles of the brain are being influenced by your cranial bones, which better be vibrating symmetrically with each other, which is very connected to your bite, a symmetrical bite. So you come into this with me now, all of you, and get this straight. A symmetrical bite, breath through the nostrils in a clear nose, an aligned cervical spine, a ventricular system, all pumping and moving in unison your cerebral spinal fluid. That's big. That's really big, and I'm going somewhere with this. Yes, yes, yes. There's somewhere to go with your understanding, but I'm not going to tell you yet. I'm going to tell you later. Because we got to get to cocaine and marijuana and Prozac. And we got to discuss what these things are about and why people are doing them and why you don't need to do them and why if you're doing them, there's a way to get off them. We've got a show for you. I'm Dr. Vincent Medici. This is Straight Talk on Health. 949-873-2127. 949-873-2127. I've got two spaces left for my class next week. It's almost closed out. I have two spaces. Somebody do the smart thing for yourself. 949-873-2127 for my class. That's my class number three next Sunday. Give us a call. Affordable, easy, 6-7 straight hours of nonstop Medici educating you to help yourself so you don't spin. Especially if you're over the age of 50. Okay. Back to this divine system. the flow of the cerebral spinal fluid. Look at picture number two if you've got the, if you're online. Picture number two there. Picture number two is what? Those are the ventricles of the brain. You're looking at them. That's a really important picture. And if you're looking at it on the left side, you're going to see something that says the third ventricle, the lower left side. If you don't have it, just picture something, guys. It looks like a big balloon. A big balloon, four balloons attached to each other in the center, ventricles. Put the heart that you know in your brain. Even do that. Just picture that. But if you're looking at the website, the third ventricle of the brain, that's in the lower left-hand side. I want to make sure you've all seen that. That third ventricle of the brain. It's listed in the lower left-hand side. Now, that third ventricle of the brain, that's going to be very important later. So we're going to leave you hanging on that. Make sure you understand where the third ventricle of the brain is. Okay, we're going to switch speeds now. And we're going to talk about a nerve cell, meaning if you're in your liver or you're in your kidney and you take those organs out and you dissect them and you put them under a microscope, you're looking at liver cells or kidney cells. In the brain, it's called a nerve cell. It's actually called a neuron, a neuron. And I want you to take a piece of paper and a pencil if you're at home and you don't have the computer and just draw a circle and attach a line to that circle. And at the end of that line, on the other end, fork that line in six different directions. So just draw a circle, attach a line to it, and then at the end of that line, fork it in six different directions. And then keep about a quarter of an inch and draw another circle and a line. So it's a circle, a line, at the end of the line, fork it, leave about a quarter of an inch, then draw another circle and a line. The circle and the line and the forks, that's called a neuron, a neuron. That is an individual cell in the brain. Now, if you're online, well, then it's a cinch. Picture number seven and picture number eight. Take your choice. Look at both. You're looking at a nerve cell, and it's broken into three parts. That circle is called the body of the cell. That's the main part. That circle is the main part of the cell. It's called the cell body. And then there's that line that you drew. That's called an axon, A-X-O-N. It's called an axon. Now hang in there, get this stuff. If you get this, I can go on. I can go on gloriously. Just this is the basic structure of the cell, of a nerve cell, a neuron. So that line is called your axon, A-X-O-N. That axon is usually coated with fat. That's right, your omega-3s. Eat fat, raw fat. Fish feeds the brain. Well, there you go. Grandma was right. Folklore. Farmland mysticism. Unscientific nonsense. I don't think so. Fish feeds the brain. Why? The fats in the fish feed the fat on the axon. You can't transmit the electrical impulse unless you fill that axon with fat. When you take bad drugs, those drugs get into that fat. When you eat bad pesticides, pesticides are fat soluble. Drugs are fat soluble. All sorts of garbage in modern technological society is fat soluble. That fat gets in to the axon, that straight line coming off that round cell. And that wire, that axon now, is interfered with because of all the metals and garbage that the fat had in it that's now comprising the myelin sheath, meaning the coating of that axon. Big problem. Really big problem. We'll get to that. So that circle is called a cell body. Then there's that line called the axon. And at the end of the axon, as I said, you fork it. And at the end of each of those lines, say you drew six lines at the end of the circle, at the end, at the termination of the axon, like sprockets, individual fingers, at the end of those are called these little bundles, these little vesicles. They are little storage units for neurotransmitters. You know the word neurotransmitter. They're going to transmit something. Now, when you get to the end of those forks where the neurotransmitters are produced, there's a gap between the end of those little fingers and the beginning of the next cell body. And that gap between the end of those little fingers and the beginning of the cell body, that gap is called the synapse. Synapse, that's a really big deal. That word you've got to understand. Because the synapse is where the action is. If you want to understand the cell, the synapse is where the action is. If you want to understand drugs, the synapse is where the action is. If you want to understand why you can't get high anymore when you come down off drugs, the understanding occurs in that synaptic cleft. So those of you at home that aren't on the computer, that circle has a line. The end of the line has four or five fingers, little forks you drew. And at the end of those little fingers, you're going to skip about, you know, a quarter of an inch and draw another circle. In that empty space is the synapse. Those of you looking at it online, you can see really clearly that synapse. So we're at that synapse now. Very important place. In the synapse, you produce chemicals, depending on which electrical circuit you're talking about. Now, in that synapse, you may make dopamine. You may make serotonin. You make your neurotransmitters. You make these chemicals. This is fascinating. Down the axon, which is the wire, down the axon is an electrical circuit. That electrical circuit forces its conversion to chemicals. We're transforming electrical energy to chemical energy. The electricity down the axon is being converted to a chemical signal. The electrical signal is being converted to a chemical signal. That chemical signal forces the production of God-given neurotransmitters. Dopamine, serotonin, epinephrine, acetylcholine, all sorts of neurotransmitters. The neurotransmitter is the chemical that joins the end of that axon with the next axon. That cleft, that synapse, that gap has to be joined somehow. You have to transmit that signal across that empty space with neurotransmitters. Now you're getting it. You have to transmit that signal. You can alter that signal. You can step that signal up. You can knock that signal down. You can modulate or regulate the signal at the synapse. I can just feel this going into your head. You're there on this. You're learning it. Watch where it goes. So there you are, John Smith. And up in your brain is nerve tissue. That nerve tissue is about an electrical circuit, a cell body, an axon, the end of the axon where the synapse is, and then the empty space, which is the synapse, and then the beginning of another cell body and another axon. Those chemicals, serotonin, very important when we talk about drugs. Dopamine, very important when we talk about drugs. Those chemicals are regulated in their production and they close that gap, that empty space called the synapse. Good. Now, every time, this is just where you're going to see the inefficiency of the body. Interesting. I said inefficiency. I didn't say the divine body. I said the inefficiency of the body, the inefficiency of evolution. The body is a bundle of efficiencies and inefficiencies. It's not just perfect. God made it half perfect. We have the free will to make the other half perfect or not. That's the exciting part. That's why we suffer. We suffer so we can make the other half perfect. If you didn't have a little suffering, you'd have no impulse. You'd have no impulse to make the other half perfect. There's a perspective. Okay, so the neurotransmitter is produced in normal neuroanatomy. Normal, in the normal physiology, the normal chemistry of that neuron, you produce dopamine, you produce serotonin. Serotonin, particularly, is a happy drug. The production of serotonin, the production of endorphins, the production of enkephalins, the production of dynorphins, 200 times the euphoric power of morphine. Morphine. Like, take morphine and we cut your leg off and you don't feel it. The power of morphine, synthetic morphine. We produce on our own, in our God-given body, dynorphin, 200 times the power of morphine. Morphine, enkephalins, endorphins, serotonin. And these neurotransmitters are produced. Now, here's where the inefficiency is, in a sense. When we produce them and in the dendrite at the end of the axon, when we produce these neurotransmitters, we produce them in abundance. We produce more than we need. We produce more than we need. So those little forks, okay, what you call the terminal end of the axon, those little forks produce more neurotransmitter than we need. You produce more serotonin than we need. So you produce this serotonin, and serotonin with a transport protein, so that's like a barge or a boat. We produce this neurotransmitter, and a boat comes. Now you're in the synapse, right? That long ocean, that empty space. And a boat comes, and the neurotransmitter jumps on the boat, and the boat sails it to the other side where the next neuron sucks it up. A little more specifically, the dendrite of the cell body of the next cell picks it up. The receptor sites for the neurotransmitter on the other side pick up that neurotransmitter, which is being transported in a boat, a transport protein. The dendrite takes as much of that neurotransmitter as the higher centers of the brain tell it to. In human evolution, divinely inspired, those neuroreceptors in the dendrite take as much of that neurotransmitter. You guys got it? That big empty space with a neurotransmitter in a boat sailing to the other side and having the dendrite, the next nerve cell, suck up that neurotransmitter. The body produces more neurotransmitter than it needs. And so the next nerve cell will pick up only as much as it wants. So it'll be in excess. It produces 10. Maybe the next cell takes 5. So there's 5 extra. This is where the body produces these uptake. These proteins that come in and pull back the excess neurotransmitter. Uptake proteins. Uptake proteins take the excess neurotransmitter and bring it back to the other side. So in the transmission of an impulse, at the end of the axon, in the dendrite, you produce the neurotransmitter. It sails to the other side, but there's excess. That excess is taken back by an uptake protein. It's taken back, so you only get the precise amount in the next cell. So the amount of neurotransmitter is regulated. Now, here's where drugs come in, like Prozac, like cocaine. Drugs come in and prevent that reuptake of the extra neurotransmitter. Cocaine blocks the uptake of dopamine and serotonin. Prozac blocks the uptake of serotonin. Uptake inhibitors are a group of antidepressants that block the uptake of serotonin. That extra serotonin, it's going to be taken back. And when you take a drug prevents that. So you get more serotonin. You get more serotonin to the other side. So if 10 molecules of serotonin, if 10 molecules of dopamine get to the other side, normally they'll be taken back, half of them. But a drug comes in like Prozac, and that drug will stop the reuptake. So you get more. Now, you think that's good. Well, if you're depressed, if life is humdrum, if you don't have any other choice, if you're feeling really bad, if your life is filled with pain, well, you get double the neurotransmitter or triple the neurotransmitter. And that may be a wonderful thing initially. But there's a problem. There is a problem with interfering with the normal regulation. So normally we'd only give you 5 serotonin, and you'd have to do the other part of the work yourself. You'd have to maybe find God to keep it together. You'd have to go out and exercise to keep it together. You'd have to learn other latent mechanisms in your body. You'd meditate. You pray. You do all sorts of things. So the 5 molecules of serotonin or 5 molecules of dopamine would be sufficient. What we do with the drug is we say we're going to give you 10 because we're going to block the uptake proteins. The proteins that come in and take it back, we're going to not make them work. We're going to inactivate them. So they're called uptake inhibitors. That's what Prozac is. And that works. Because now you get double the punch. Great. The problem is something called modulation. The problem is the brain is a hog, in a sense. If you feed it more serotonin, your nerve chemistry, your brain chemistry adjusts to more serotonin. Often. You want more. You want more cocaine. You want more marijuana. A lot of times, Prozac stops working. A lot of times, we have to switch you to another type of a happy drug. So I'm kind of simplifying things a little. But the point is, when you block an uptake protein, and you give the body extra, the body gets used to it. And then it doesn't work as well. So now you start to feel like you're kind of dead. You're kind of numb. Everything is muted. It went from euphoria to, I just don't feel at all. You're not feeling so low and you're not feeling so high. Now don't get me wrong. If you're on drugs, Prozac, Wellbutrin, the whole slew of these things, Zoloft, they all similar ways. Same theme, different script. Same basic theory, different specific chemistry. But if you're on this kind of stuff and you have to be, well, you have to be. Again, this is straight talk on health. And implied in that is sometimes you just got to do these things. And you have to do them, you have to do them. but a lot of times you don't. These drugs can be wonderful intermittently. They may be necessary. Never should we judge another person. But they have to have an appropriate use. And the problem is that it starts to become inappropriate over the years when these drugs are simply numbing you out, where you can get by, but deep down inside, you're not thriving in life. The God chemicals, the real chemistry of the body is not being celebrated. So you try to get off these drugs. Now you're going to thank yourself for understanding a little bit. What's going to happen when all of a sudden that extra supply of serotonin is cut off? Because now you go off the drug, and now the body starts taking back half of that serotonin, or half of that dopamine, or half of whatever chemical it's secreting way more of. What happens when you're denied half, so to speak, of all those extra chemicals that your natural transport proteins would take back? And all of a sudden, you don't get that double dose anymore. Your whole chemistry now has been converted to expecting 10, but now that you're working normal the way you were in the beginning, you're only getting 5. So you get the double whammy. Now, what's that double whammy mean? It means when that nerve cell transmitted an electrical impulse through the axon, and at the end of that axon, you had those little forks, and those forks produced those neurotransmitters, and it sent 10 out, and it took back 5, and to feel good, you did Prozac or some other drug, and instead of that 5 coming back, you kept all 10, and you've kept all 10 now for years, and now you go off the drug. The double whammy is, number one, you're used to 10, and now you're only getting 5. You're being rationed again. You were doing 10, now you're only getting 5, number one. Number two, there are other systems in the body that are shut off. And those systems are all part of your natural God-given systems to produce your own opiates, your own happy drugs, your own endorphins, enkephalins, dynorphins, and things we haven't even discovered. Your entire biological system of brain that's communing with God, looking for that experience of heaven on earth, you've shut that down. You don't have it to depend on. And no matter how depressed you were before you started these drugs, that system was still working. It was troubled. It may have been temporarily failing. It was actually asking you to help it. But you were innocent. You didn't understand. And so what you failed to do, through no fault of your own, perhaps, you fail to ignite those systems. After 2 years, 3 years, 5 years, 10 years on Zoloft, Wellbutrin, Prozac, the list is endless. Now you no longer have that extra neurotransmitter. Your body's taking it back now, and you have no sense of how to produce your own God-given chemicals. So that's the double whammy. You know what you call that? Addiction. Now you can't get off it. Now you don't know how to get through life. And we'll get to what you got to do about that. What you've got to do. Well, that's an act of faith. And there's no simple supplement and herb. Years ago, I got myself hooked into all sorts of therapies, in a sense. I worked with a bunch of medical doctors that would, you could go down to Mexico and they'd give you all sorts of amino acid drips to cure your addictions. And these things were somewhat helpful. You've had a lot of people trying to get people off bad drugs with all sorts of manipulations of the body. But there's no cure-all. You don't go somewhere and it works, generally. But what you have to do, you have to root yourself deeply in that long, dark journey into the night. That's called education. You have to understand that in that synaptic cleft, in that synapse, is a lonely place. There's no neurotransmitter, and there's no God chemical. It's an empty space now that you synthetically satisfied. If you're on the website, you're going to see these synapses, pictures of these synapses, picture 10 and picture 11. They're fantastic pictures. Picture 10 there at the end of that yellow wire, you see all these neurotransmitter receptors. And that gap there between the yellow and the green, that gap is the synapse. That's where those neurotransmitters travel. And as much as those neurotransmitters travel, there are other proteins that take some of those neurotransmitters back. So you can get a sense of what I'm talking about on picture 10 and picture 11. Hopefully you're following it that way. So what are you going to do when you're trying to detox off drugs? What are you sacrificing when you're on Prozac and Zoloft and Wellbutrin and so on and so forth? Well, before we get there, let's get to another concept. Let's get to a concept that's a continuation of the first part of the show. We said that there's a ventricular system in your brain. Yes, we did. And we said that ventricular system has a pulse to it. That's called the cranial pulse. Your cranial bones integrated into your breath, integrated into your ventricular system, integrated into the flow of cerebral spinal fluid, are part of a driving mechanism in the body. A driving mechanism. And that driving mechanism can be viewed beautifully on picture number 12 or picture number 18. They're repeat pictures. Picture number 12 and picture number 18 show you the infamous pineal gland. And if you're not viewing it on the website, if you put your finger right between your eyebrows and you go back about 2 inches, in that region are your master glands, your hypothalamus, your pituitary, which run the endocrine system, the glandular system. And just behind it a little bit is the mystery gland. It's called the pineal gland. Pineal. Its derivation is actually to the word penis. The Greeks looked at it and said it looked like a little penis. Just like in the brain, the Greeks looked at little things that look like breasts and called them mammillary bodies. The Greek translated to the Latin. It's really the Egyptian to the Greek to the Latin to the English. The Egyptian to the Greek to the Latin to the English. What we call knowledge in the Western world, Europe and America, translates from Egypt to Greece to Europe to America. Egyptian to Greek to Latin, and then ultimately into English. Well, going way back, the Greeks looked at the pineal gland and said, that's a penis. And if you look at the pineal gland, picture 12, you find it there, the label for it, on the left side, third word down. That pineal gland, it looks like a little tip. Looks like a little pincer erasal in a more cylindrical form. Looks like a little nipple. And what you're looking at is that pineal gland embedded in what appear to be two breasts, four breasts, the superior colliculus, it's called. In the neuroanatomy of the brain sits this little nipple of a gland called the pineal gland. It sits in between two little structures that look like breasts. Those breasts, in neuroanatomical languages, are called the superior colliculus. And below it are two more breasts called the inferior colliculus. Just above the pineal gland is the third ventricle. Just above the pineal gland is the third ventricle. And if the third ventricle is patent, meaning if the ventricular system of the brain is patent, which means the cranial rhythms are patent, which means the breath is integrated into the cranial rhythms, which means the bite is integrated into the cranial rhythms, the bite, the breath, the cranial bones, the ventricular system all vibrate the pineal gland. They vibrate the pineal gland. Or they don't. Or they vibrate it with one frequency, or they vibrate it with another frequency. If that vibration of the pineal gland is held optimally, magical things begin to happen to you. The production of opiates, the production of the endorphins, the enkephalins, the production of the dynorphins is very much related to the cranial frequencies. And inducing these things is essentially the entire task of holistic medicine. If you're listening to this show, I'm Dr. Vincent Medici. This is Straight Talk on Health, straighttalk.cc. I can assure you there is nothing like this broadcasting in the USA today. I can assure you that these things are real. I can assure you that I've seen people change their neuronal chemistry. I can assure you that hard science suggests this, often backs this up totally. And I can assure you that if you're into nutrition and you trace the roots of nutrition, of herbal medicine, to their roots, to their profound beginnings, there was no way you separated the use of nutritional supplementation from your understanding of your own neuroanatomy. The two were indistinguishable. The purpose of herbal medicine, the purpose of nutritional medicine, is to open the nervous system, to balance the nervous system, to bring your neurotransmitters into a modulation, into a supervision, where you can produce opiates of your own, opiates we've isolated, opiates we understand the molecular configurations of, to bring yourself to the God experience, to make yourself happier each day so you don't need drugs. But you have to have knowledge. These knowledges are being denied to you. These knowledges America are generally ignorant of. It's not just about Wheaties and lifting weights. Those paradigms are dead. They're being replaced by more energetic concepts of what health really is. And as applied to nutrition, it means clean your body with the herbs, nutrify your body with the herbs, so that you can open and start to modulate your neurotransmitter system so you can produce your own opiates. That's big. You're going to need to hear the show again. 949-873-2127. I've got two spaces left for next week's class. No, we're not going to get into this. Next week's class is the baby class. They have to learn the A's before we discuss the Z's. If this is your first time to the show, welcome. Get on the website, straighttalk.cc. Get onto the archives so you can hear the show again anytime you want for pennies. Pennies on the dollar. I put the archives out there. We've got 112 shows now. At the cost, it's pennies a show. In a sense, it shouldn't be, but it is. Be ahead of yourself. If you're out there lost and spinning because you don't know which track to put yourself in, give us a call. Speak to my office staff. Make an appointment. Come in and have a consult so we can discuss you. To see where you're at, to see what systems in your body we can utilize so that you can get your health on track. It's not about what herb do you take for the symptom. It's about what herb do you take to regulate your physiology, to turn on your nervous system. That's a concept. It's a concept you have to take into yourself. There it is, picture number 12, the pineal gland. The Germans studied this gland intensely. German medicine, German biological medicine, finds crystals in the pineal gland, crystals. When those crystals are modulated through vibrational shift in the cranium, those crystals release. They release chemicals. Those are God chemicals. This is the cusp of our understanding of neuronal chemistry, of brain chemistry. There's a reason the Christian saints had halos, I assure you. That is not agnostic occult talk. That is a simple observation from somebody who sees halos placed upon the heads of most Christian saints. Why did we draw them that way? What were we trying to say? Why didn't we put that ring around their arms, their legs? Why didn't we depict it another way? Why do we put a body of light around the head of Christ? Why? What were they trying to say intuitively, or perhaps literally? Going back before the Renaissance, before the Renaissance was accused, before it was accused of heresy, before it was accused of pornography, long before the Renaissance, before Da Vinci, before Michelangelo, before Raphael, why were the pictures in the Middle Ages, the Dark Ages, putting halos around our saints? What were they trying to say? I'm giving you a perspective, and that perspective lives strong today. And there it is. What are you looking at there on page 12, on picture 12? You're looking at a gland that's being titillated and vibrated between two large pillows. And if that gland hits a particular frequency, it begins to change the person. But you've got to get that transmission. That transmission may not work. After you've done those drugs, those transmissions are filled with the residues of the drug. And if we're not talking about antidepressant drugs, anti-anxiety drugs, drugs to get you high, drugs to make you forget that you have to reconfigure yourself. If we're talking about that, if we're not talking about that, rather, we're just talking about the guy that works at the airport, the guy that drives a bus, the guy that fixes cars, the guy that just lives in the inner city, the guy that's breathing down soot, smut all day long, the guy that's eating pus at McDonald's, the guy that's drinking and eating foods that he doesn't know are binding into the fat of the axon. The axon, even the nerve cell, is made of fat. Many of your poisons are lipophilic. Ultimately, if you go in and dissect out the myelin sheath, the fatty sheath around that cell, that nerve cell, it's going to be filled with all sorts of fat soluble chemicals, including metals, that stand in the way of proper transmission. If you don't even get proper transmission, you're not going to get to first base on this story. Meaning you're never going to start modulating to a higher pitch your own neurotransmissions. Here's the secret, one of the big secrets. Here's a slant on something you already know. Eat lots of raw, healthy fat. Yep, it all comes down to mom was right. Fish is a brain food. What was grandma really saying? Sashimi, raw fish, flax, avocado, olives, raw dairy. The foods that guarantee you the raw, non-sticky fats into your system. Doesn't matter, vegan meat eater, vegan, vegetarian, meat-eating carnivore, you can get those avocados in, those olives in. Yeah, you do it. My point to you on this show today is you know about the essential fatty acids. My point to you is I'm not talking about the essential fatty acids out of a bottle. I'm talking about the raw food, the egg, the fresh, fertile egg, the nut that tastes like cream, the oil in the fish that's so fresh it tastes like cream, that nutty, buttery taste. If you get nothing from this show today, nutty and buttery, the buttery, nutty taste of a raw fat, only if it's of that quality is this going to hit the home run. Saunas, where you eat lots of fat and sweat lots of days, the more you sweat in the sauna, the more you eat your fats and bring your minerals, the more you exchange out those toxic substances that bind, those drug residues, including the metals that bind into the fatty sheaths of the nerves, so you can get to your God chemicals. So what does America do? It eats sludge. It does drugs. It tries to get off those drugs. It can't get off those drugs. It's addicted to those drugs. It has to replace one drug with the other because ultimately you modulate to the drug. You can only get so high on drugs. But you can get infinitely high on life. It's tougher. It requires more knowledge, basic understanding to support your own opiate system. Dynorphin is stronger than morphine. So if you take the shortcut, and again, no judgment if you did, but you got your work cut out for you. The long, dark journey in tonight is built on faith. Faith is knowledge. God's people perish, sometimes not for lack of faith, but lack of knowledge. 949-873-2127, two spaces left for the school. Outside of that, get to the archives. Outside of that, come on in if you're lost. If you need guidance, if you need to get put into the correct track, come this way, because we have education for you. That's it, guys. God bless. You have a fantastic week. I'm Dr. Vincent Medici. See you later.
Been listening to Straight Talk on Health with Dr. Vincent Medici. Invite your family and friends to the show and learn about Dr. Medici through his website, straighttalk.cc. He'll give you the tools you need to save your health and prevent unnecessary surgeries and harmful drugs. He's dedicated to your ultimate healing. Join Dr. Medici next week at 10 a.m. for more Straight Talk on Health. This show and the information therein has not been evaluated by the FDA, and recommended products are not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. The information provided on this site is for informational purposes only and is not intended as a substitute for advice from your physician or other healthcare professional.